Borges took a gulp of his drink.
It's not just your girlfriend. There's some strange man looking for the Smiths. Claims to be the king. I didn't dare get close enough to find out if he saw me.
You should have changed your name. At least you know that the neurosciences people are keeping your secret.
There are a lot of Smiths, and we really didn't think anyone would come looking for us.
Surprise.
Ronnie cocked an eye at George. Was he going to be odious again, here? He eyed the tension in every line of the clones' bodies.
Shut up. I didn't like you before, and I don't like your idea of jokes.
We're even. I don't like your idea of hospitality. This is silly, you know. Holding us like this doesn't accomplish anything you want. You need new identities, so your father, sorry, Gerald's father, doesn't find you. You need to be free to move around. You need friends who will steer the king away from you, warn you when he's near, all that. Instead, you have tied yourself down and us up. You're isolated. You don't have friends.
I said shut up!
Andres hit George, then looked at Borges for his reaction. Borges shrugged. Andres looked away.
You could go on and kill us.
George seemed undeterred by the blow that had reddened his face. Ronnie felt a sneaking sympathy with Andres.
But that wouldn't help either. You'd have to get rid of two fairly large, heavy corpses. Someone might see you, and although the Guanese have been cooperative so far, I suspect that murdering us would strain their sympathy. It would certainly upset Rafaela. And since you don't know her as well as I do, I warn you that she is likely to stick on Ronnie's trail until she finds him, dead or alive.
George, shut up! You're not helping.
Neither are you. We've tried being nice. We've tried being polite, helpful, entertaining, amusing. And they're still being idiots. Probably enough of that stupidity drug still in their systems.
Borges, this time, loomed over George with his hand raised.
It is not!
So I thought perhaps a bit of aggravation might make them wake up and think, if they can, or listen to wiser minds if they can't.
We are not stupid!
Right. Raise your voices. Yell and scream, and someone may call the police, or whatever the Guanese call them.
The guard.
Whatever. Listen, Borges, this has gone on long enough. Rafa saw you. She's going to start thinking and doing, a very dangerous combination. She probably thinks you're Gerald. And if she knows the king's here, she's going to think it's a conspiracy to regain the throne.
What? That's crazy!
No crazier than what you've done. It's what any person would think, believing that Gerald, who's supposed to be dead, and the king are in the same place. She's going to put that alongside our disappearance and think we're either dead or being held by the king and Gerald, or their supporters.
I haven't seen her again.
She's not stupid, Bor. She can recognize danger when she sees it, and she can act. So the smartest thing for you to do is enlist us as allies. Let us run some interference for you.
Andres and Borges exchanged glances and glared at their captives.
As if we could trust you!
It's probably hard for clones to trust anyone outside the clone cluster, especially with the life you've had. But someday you'll have to, and you know us better than anyone else so far.
So what do you suggest?
What I said before, get new identities. Simple disguises to start with, maybe, but probably plastic surgery or biosculpts later. Change your names legally. I'm sure the neurosciences people will help.
But we can't go out until...
Oh, come now. This isn't an Adventure Cube thriller. Wait until dark. Take a private cab. Call the Institute from here and make arrangements.
The clones looked at each other, but said nothing. Ronnie held his breath.
Is this going to work?
Or you could let one of us out to arrange disguises, transportation, even check at the Institute and make sure the king isn't hanging around the front door. Find the back door.
I don't think so. The other... Perhaps you're right. It does make sense to disguise ourselves and take other names. One of our therapists at the Institute did suggest that, but it seemed unnecessary then.
One thing to consider. The king may not be the only one who wants to find you. If someone did want to set up a contender for a future throne, your tissues would be helpful, with or without your cooperation.
Well, we certainly can't trust you.
Then Andres pulled Borges to the far side of the room, where they conferred in whispers. The outside felt large and dangerous. Ronnie was surprised to find himself flinching away from the bustling crowd on the sidewalk. He had loathed that small, cramped room while he was in it, but now it seemed a safe haven. He understood why the clones were reluctant to go back out. When he came to the street market, he half hoped to see Rafa there. He bought himself a fruit pastry with the last coin in his pocket and ate it as he walked. No one seemed to notice him. No Rafa appeared, nor did the king. He wondered if Rafa had come across the king. He hoped not. That would really confuse things. At a public comm booth, he stripped his messages of the traveler's directory. 11 from Rafa, all with a reply code.
Please leave a message.
Hi, Rafa. It's Ronnie. What are you doing here? Did your parents change their mind about the engagement? I'll call again later.
He hoped anyone intercepting that message would hear only a young man in love. He hoped she was all right. Some dim memory of spy adventure stories suggested that he shouldn't use the same booth for all the calls he planned to make. He walked across the street to another one and called the Neurosciences Institute. The clones had told him which extension to ask for.
He's out to lunch. Would you like to leave a message or call back?
I'll call back, thanks.
In the meantime, he could find out if the king was using his own name. Rafa threw her packages on the table and started to stretch out for a nap, then saw the blinking light on the comm console.
A message from Ronnie and George.
Her heart pounded. She took a breath and tried to be calm.
Hi, Rafa. It's Ronnie. What are you doing here? Did your parents change their mind about the engagement? I'll call again later.
At the sound of Ronnie's voice, her vision dimmed for a moment and her heart pounded. The message was almost over by the time her vision cleared, and the idiot hadn't left a reply code. Rage replaced whatever strong emotion had just swept her. She didn't stop to think about it. The comm console could capture the calling number and display its location. She looked at that, at the time the message had been left, and forgot about the nap. She was two blocks away when it occurred to her that this might not be a wise move. Perhaps Ronnie hadn't left a reply code because there were problems. Perhaps she kept walking. Perhaps if she was quick enough, he would still be there. The booth he'd called from, on the corner of Osip and Dixa, contained a thin woman and three active preschoolers, clearly a triad. Rafa looked around, ignoring the crafts, the food booths, and spotted another cluster of comm booths on the far side of the market. And there he was, unharmed, angled away from her, talking. His free arm moved, gesturing, and she was suddenly angry enough to wring that handsome neck. She strode across the market, ignoring everything, until she was right behind him. She could hear nothing. The Guarnesi comm booths had enviable privacy shields, but he had not blanked the booth visually. Rafa moved around until she could see his face. She wanted to see his face very badly, especially when he caught sight of her. He turned paper white and grabbed at the booth rail. His lips shaped her name. Then he held up a hand. He glanced away briefly, as if something said to him required a change in attention, then ended the connection and shot out of the booth as if kicked.
Rafa! How did you... I mean, Rafa!
She had been prepared to give him a stony glare and a crisp demand for information, but his hug was more frantic than possessive, and it felt good. She felt her anger leak away, to be replaced by first relief, then a wave of pure physical passion. Her legs felt odd. The ground seemed very far away.
I was so worried. I was afraid you were in trouble. You'll never guess what I've seen.
He was looking past her now, scanning the crowd as if he expected someone.
Oh?
Where's George? We need to warn him. Did you know the ex-king was here? And the prince? Gerald, who was supposed to be dead? He's not. I saw him. I think the king is in league with his son to take over the government again.
The king is not in league with his son. Gerald is dead.
But I saw him, and he recognized me and took off.
That wasn't Gerald.
It was. I'm not blind, Ronnie. Don't think you can treat me like a little idiot.
Now he looked at her, but not with the look she wanted.
You're not blind, but that wasn't Gerald. Think, Rafa. What have you seen since you've been here?
Clones! That was Gerald's clone. Has the king come here to get another son, take over the government?
Not with them. Him! Blast it! I've already screwed up. No, it's not the king, or not exactly. The clones are from before, when Gerald was still alive. They've doubled for him.
But that's illegal.
Yes, and they don't want to have anything to do with the Familiars now. They want to get on with their lives, here in a place where clones are normal, where they can be full citizens.
You've seen. You've talked to them. Is that where you've been?
Rafa, I can't talk about it now. We have to get them some help before the king finds them. I was just talking to the Neurosciences Institute. They'll help get them new identities. But we have to help them get there without the king noticing. The Institute says he's made a pest of himself, and they suspect he's having the place watched.
Ronnie was scanning the crowd again. Rafa could feel the tension in his arm.
Let's go then. Take me to them.
I can't do that.
Why not? You don't think I'm going to let you walk back into trouble, do you? So that I can sit here and worry? Forget that.
She realized that she had clenched her hand on his arm, and a few people were glancing their way. She let go and turned away, furious again.
Rafa, I don't want to take chances.
And did I survive on the island just as well as you or not?
You did, but...
But you're afraid for me now. Who do you think will hurt me? Gerald's clones?
They're not quite stable.
No, but I presume they've had a good upbringing.
She gave him another long look, noticing the shadows under his eyes, the tight-drawn skin.
You look hungry. Who's been feeding you?
Well, they have. But they had to use our money, too. And it's been short.
Rafa took his hand again and led him into the market.
Well, then, that's my cue. I'll be the traditional lady, the loaf bringer. Buttered toast does more than music to soothe the savage beast.
She was aware that she had mixed several metaphors, but in the meantime, she led Ronnie from one booth to another, loading his arms with sacks of pastries, loaves of bread, a fat round cheese, and a sausage of indecent length and girth.
Let's see. Fruit.
She carried away a sack of bright gold, pebbly-skinned fruits and a basket of dark purple berries. Ronnie led her away to the far side of the market.
Along this street. You know you're risking a lot.
Not my sanity, though, and that was about to disappear along with you. This is much better. Besides, I have news about your original mission.
You do?
Yes, but I won't tell you until we're there.